Lorraine and I'm black.
I'm Sarah and I'm Jewish. We host a podcast called Learned Up, where we go back to school to learn some basic black and Jewish stuff we should totes already know.
Come see Learned Up at UCB Sunset / UCB Inner Sanctum at 5419 West Sunset Boulevard in Hollywood on October 30th. That's a Monday at 8:30 p.m. We have a live show.
Guys, we are recording our first full episode live, so you can hear us and see us in action at the same time. Here are some things you can expect. Special comedy guests, enrichment, learning, did I say surprises? It's free. Guys,
yeah.
Please come to our live show. Once again, Monday, October 30th, 8:30 p.m., UCB Sunset in the Inner Sanctum. Let's get learned up.
It's going to be a really good time. You're going to want to be there.
Bye-bye. Hello, Lorraine.
Hi, Sarah. How have you been?
Well, I've been okay. How about you?
I've been pretty good. It's been like a fun week because like our parents have been visiting.
Yeah, it's been parents' week.
Yeah, and it's kind of cool because like this podcast was so much inspired by our dad. So it's been a special moment of like me getting to meet your dad.
I performed in a sketch with Lorraine's dad.
Yes.
It was wild. Did not see that coming.
Me neither.
I don't think
honestly.
Anyone did.
No, because like, honestly, okay, that night I was supposed to do a different sketch with my sketch team, but then like the day of, like people backed out or whatever. And then
you
I was like,
oh,
this is perfect because I have this like really stupid sketch about Ben Bernanke that I want to put up that I've never gotten a chance to put up. And I was going to just ask a bunch of my friends to do like a staged reading of it. And then I realized, oh my God, my mom and dad are going to be at this show. And Sarah is going to be at the show. What if they just read the parts? And it went great.
It was so fun.
It was really
And such
really
a funny
fun.
Sketch.
Thank like, you for doing it,
you
by the way.
You should be so proud of that.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, that was fun. Yeah, and then we just had brunch with my dad. And Lorraine got to meet my dad.
Oh my gosh, what a treat. Your
just
dad is so
worlds.
Cool.
Well,
I really like
he thinks
like
you're
him.
Really cool, too.
Oh, that means so much to me.
Yeah, they were email buddies before they met face-to-face.
Yes.
Isn't that fun? It's like having
a pen
pal.
I can't believe we didn't even talk about that.
I know.
Like, that didn't even come up.
We didn't even roast him. You didn't even talk about how much he fucked up his, like, very simple assignments for both our episode and then our live show that we did.
You know I wouldn't anyway because I take full blame for that. I should have followed up. I should have said, hello, can you supply me with answers to your questions?
Right, like we asked.
I don't know.
Anyway.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. This is not the space to drag my dad.
No.
It is the space, but I mean, I'm not going to use it as
this
such.
This is the space. We're not doing it right now.
No.
Because we got bigger fish to fry.
Bleep, 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 bleep. Inventors.
Inventor 0001 robots.
I'm going to go first because I'm going to talk about Ralph Baer. What do you think he invented?
I think that he invented those slippers that are bare feet.
What do you mean?
You know those slippers that are like, they look like the animal bare feet and you put
that,
your
like,
feet in them.
Wear? Actually, I do know what
you
mean.
You know
mean.
What I'm talking about?
Yeah.
So you walk around and you're in bare feet.
You look like a wild thing. A wild thing.
But do you get the pun?
Bare feet.
Yeah.
I got it. Sorry.
Okay, just checking.
Yeah.
Tell me.
Okay, so Ralph Baer did not invent slippers that look like bears.
Well, then what the heck did he invent?
Guys, he's the father of video games.
Nuh-uh.
He invented video games.
Thank you, Mr. Baer.
Thank you, Mr. Baer. I do think that there were probably some, some ideas floating around in the zeitgeist of like, hey, like, you know, we just got TV. That's really neat.
Sure.
What's the next thing? What's the next level? Like, how can we take this to the next level? And the next level being like, how do we interact with a TV?
Sure.
So this guy, Ralph Baer, he escaped Nazi Germany with his family in 1938 when he was about 16, moves to America. He is on a bus or a train one day and he sees a giant ad for like the future is telecommunications or something. And it's like an ad for a correspondence course on like electronics and stuff.
Yeah.
He takes it. And in it, like his mind just starts spinning. He gets all these cool ideas. Which leads him ultimately to, I think he's working for some consulting company or as an engineer. In 1966, he's in New York City. It's a sweltering hot summer. He is sitting outside Port Authority waiting for a friend. And he's just sketching. He's just got his little sketch pad out. And he comes up with the sort of the earliest idea for what would later be a video game system.
Wow.
And he calls it the Brown Box. And he pitches this idea to his boss. And his boss is like, okay. A lot of people are at work are like making fun of him and like, Ralph Baer, what is this? We don't know what this is. You're crazy. You're that weird guy with kooky ideas. And his boss was like, you know what? I'm going to take a chance on this. I'm going to give you a couple team members to work on this, come up with like a couple prototypes, cool, issue a patent, whatever, however that works. And the Brown Box was ultimate. So they got some money, some funding for it. The Brown Box was licensed to Magnavox, the TV company.
Right, totally.
And went on sale in 1972 as the Odyssey, as the world's first video game system. The Odyssey was everything. It was like hardware and software in one. In fact, there was no software. It was like, I don't entirely know how to talk about this because I'm not like an engineery person and I don't know much about like how gaming systems or like any sort of computer system works. But I know that it's significant that unlike, you know, the Nintendo 64 or PlayStation or GameCube or Xbox, those are all the things that I know. Those things are gaming systems that require software. Like you have to buy, in addition to the game system, games, right?
Yeah.
They're separate. But this Odyssey, it did not run on software. Everything that came with it, all the wires and the sort of like whatever, like transmitted the games. Like it came with the games, if that makes sense, sort of baked into the hardware.
Sure, totally.
Okay. So it was a lot of like really simple kind of sports like games. There was like a table tennis game. There was like, I think, a pool, like a maybe a baseball, like a lot of just basic games, right?
Yeah.
And so they had this patent, and actually, in addition to the patent, Ralph Baer did something really smart, but also kind of dickish, which was like he basically cornered the market on any similar video game system. So he was like, anything that came remotely close, he was like, I'm suing you. So
what?
In 2 years, 1974, I think, Atari comes out with the first arcade video game, Pong.
Okay, that's what I was going to ask. I was going to be like, did he make Pong?
No,
I guess no.
He did not. Pong became better known than Odyssey and was in some ways more agile, according to this New York Times article. But Sanders, which was the sort of parent company that Baer worked along with.
Yeah.
Sanders and Magnavox immediately saw it as an infringement to their patent. So they sued Atari in 1974 for usurping their rights. Atari settled with them by paying $1.5 million, which in 1974 was a fuck ton of money.
Yeah.
To become Odyssey's second licensee. So I don't know exactly what that means, but I think it's like, okay, so you're going to be part of our license agreement and you're just going to have to, you can keep putting games out, but you have to pay us.
Wow.
So over the next 20 years, Magnavox, under sort of Ralph Baer's like leadership, went on to sue dozens more companies, winning more than $100 million.
Holy
Mr.
shit.
Baer was often there personally testifying in court. Someone in like the video game community or engineer community or whatever called him like the king of suing people.
Wow.
He was like the original Trump. Like he was just like, he did not give a fuck. Everything was an infringement. Everything was like, hey, that's sort of my thing.
Sure.
I'll see you in court.
That honestly sounds like a really fun video game. Like imagine like you're him,
mm-hmm,
and there's like these other inventions like kind of coming out of the sky and you're like pew 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 suing you.
Yeah, I like
that.
You
know what I mean? Like you have to sue them really, really fast.
That's fun.
Anyway.
Yeah, there should be more court-based video games.
There actually is.
Jury duty.
So there's this video game that Justin Roiland developed. It's a VR game. And the end of it, you have to do these really bad things to get to the next level. Like you just have to kill someone and then like crawl into their flesh. It's so weird.
Whoa.
It's so fucking weird. But at the very end, you end up in this like you're in purgatory and you're in court. It's like you have to argue why you're a good person and like get into heaven, but there's no way for you to get into heaven. The only way that you can get out of the situation is if you like kill the judge that's in this courtroom. It's like you have to like throw these, you like launch these things at his head.
That's not how the justice system works,
Lorraine. I know. It's totally crazy. But that's the only courtroom video game I can think of off the top of my head.
I just learned about a video game called Wolfenstein that's apparently very famous in the gaming community. That's an alternate reality in which Nazis won World War II and you just go around killing Nazis. So it's very satisfying, but a lot of people are objecting to it because, you know, it's like violence isn't the answer. We're just, you know, I don't know.
Where are we right now that, like, first of all, people are like, you're too sensitive. Let me be racist.
Yeah.
But we also have to be gentle towards Nazis.
Why can't we just kill Nazis in video games?
Can we just...
Or real life.
I know. Like, can we just punch Nazis? Mm. Can we knock them out?
Yes, we can. Okay, so last thing I want to say about Ralph Baer is he likes... It's... Okay. I think about inventors like I think about serial killers. Like, they have a history. Before they stumble on that invention that makes them famous, they've invented like 500 other things.
True.
They're not just like a one-trick pony.
No.
They try other stuff and like maybe it's less catchy so it doesn't, you know, launch them to fame. But he invented a million other things. Sort of in the same universe was this electronic memory game. I think it's like a handheld sort of device.
Sure.
Called Simon, that's sort of modeled after Simon Says. And I think it's like Simon, you know, like it tells you to like hit the green thing and then you hit the green thing. Or
yeah,
that's
I remember
still sold
that.
Today.
Yeah, I know about Simon.
Yeah.
I didn't know that that was an old thing. I thought it was new because like I, you know, I was a kid in the 90s and Simon was like advertised on TV. That's from
like the 70s.
Wow.
Yeah.
Fun.
It's wild.
Cool.
Awesome. So that's Ralph Baer. Thanks, well, Mr. Baer. Oh, and he just died a couple years ago. And so there were a couple really cool like op-ed pieces like an NPR and New York Times about him. Yeah,
pretty cool. Well, this kind of reminds me of an old trivia time thing that I shared on this podcast. I think this was the same guy I was talking about. Sorry for my flawed memory. But there was this engineer, Jerry Lawson, and he developed the those video game cartridges.
Oh, cool.
And didn't really get credit for all of his work, his advancements in the video gaming industry until after his death. It was just people just sort of glossed over all of his inventions and stuff. But he's like really cool. Like he made what we, you know, like what made Nintendo possible. He did that.
Yeah, right. Because like I said, this guy, Ralph Baer, didn't really think about how, like, didn't think about the idea of having software as separate from the hardware. Like,
yeah.
Like, you know, so it was limiting because you could really only, if you had this Odyssey system, you could really only play the like 15 or so games that came on it.
Right. Oh, unless actually, he figured out how to like
make it compatible with outside software or something.
Sure. Like ways you could update your code or something. Like, and I don't know if that was a part
of it.
This
was like 72. I don't think there were like a lot of like customizations, modifications. But I did want to ask you, what video games did you play growing up?
Not many. I mostly like watched boys play.
Oh, sure. That's a very like, chill thing to do.
Yeah. I mean, I
love just sitting down on a couch and watching men play video games.
And
don't
it,
you?
Yeah. I mean, it's not that I was like being a shy girl that like wasn't getting in there and holding her own. I am just really bad.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so bad.
Yeah.
I'm comically bad at video games, but I liked Donkey Kong Country.
Sure.
Loved it. There was this Aladdin game that I really liked.
Ooh.
You guys remember, yeah.
No, Ryan is nodding.
It was
Were
really
you on a magic
fun.
Carpet?
Well, the last level, you just are on a magic carpet ride and you're just like collecting things.
Ooh,
it's like
so
totally
fun.
Easy.
Did you play the Mario, like the Mario
Kart,
universe?
Yeah.
Super Mario Brothers.
Exactly. All that stuff was fun.
Loved that.
I also really liked watching people play the more like complex games with story, like Zelda like Final Fantasy. Like those were really fun to watch.
Cool.
What about? Oh wait, and Earthworm Jim.
What's that?
Do you know about Earthworm Jim? It was on Nintendo 64, I think.
Cool.
Do you know Ryan?
Sega Genesis.
Earthworm
the king.
Jim. Yeah, that was like a weird worm guy. He like was kind of a cross between like Johnny Bravo and a California raisin. Like he just looked really weird and he was like going through the city streets. Or actually it was like, yeah, it was like underground, I guess, because he's
like
a worm.
Digging tunnels.
It was bizarre. What about you? What did
That's
you play?
That's cool. Well, yeah, all the Mario Brothers games. I think we had, what game system did that run on? Nintendo, right?
Yeah,
of course. Duh.
Yeah.
But then my earliest memories of playing video games were when my brother and I would go over to George Brown's house. George Brown lived two doors down and he was older. He was like 4 or 5 years older. So he would babysit us.
Yeah.
We would go over to his house and it was so awesome because he had this like cool basement with all these games and he would play Street Fighter and Mortal Kombat.
Cool.
And he would let us play. Probably my mom would not have been that chill with that. Mm. Like a 7-8-year-old girl like playing Mortal Kombat, but whatever. I loved those games. And
my cousins had Mortal Kombat and I loved watching them play.
Yeah.
I think there was like only one girl character. Her name was Kimmy. And I don't know, she was really badass. Like she had these like amazing moves. She like looked like a gymnast and she would like flip around like a gymnast.
Yeah.
I was like, that's going to be me.
Yeah. I always pick the girl character. Yeah. Love totally. It. All right. Well, I'm passing the mic over to you.
All right. Well, today I'm going to talk to you about Frederick McKinley Jones.
Who's that?
He is a guy. Actually, let's play the same game. Okay. What do you think that Frederick McKinley Jones invented?
I think he invented, I think he invented the Easy Bake Oven.
Ooh, that is a great guess. That's a great guess, but just the opposite.
Oh.
Frederick McKinley Jones was into refrigeration.
Wow.
That was a huge gasp that I just did. So he was born in 1893 in Ohio near Cincinnati and then ended up growing up in Kentucky, not too far away from there. He was orphaned at age 9, so that's hard times.
Yeah.
But he, as he grew up, he just always was really into tinkering and inventing things. He worked on this like automatic snowmobile thing. He like built the, I don't know if it was the first, but that was like his first thing that got him all excited about like building stuff. He served in World War One, and after his service, he was employed as a mechanic. And he taught himself like a lot of different like tricks with electronics and whatnot. He ended up building a transmitter for this town, his town where he was living, Holick, Minnesota. This new transmitter for a radio station in this town. And he figured out how to like combine sound with picture for film. So he ended up having like a good partnership with this guy, Joseph A. Numero, from Minneapolis, Minnesota. And he would like improve sound equipment from this guy's company, Cinema Supplies. So that was like his bread and butter. He was like doing stuff for like film and like audio, radio stuff. Mm-hmm. But what he ended up being known for was this invention for refrigeration. He built this like portable air cooling thing for a truck so that for his town, they could transport like perishable foods.
Mm-hmm.
And also like later on, this was used for transporting blood during World War II.
Oh, sure.
To preserve like blood, medicine.
Yeah, you gotta keep
foods.
That blood cold.
Yeah, anything that like needs to stay cool. And so that people could like drive this stuff out into battlefields and like go to the people that need it. He invented this thing. And his partnership with that guy, Joseph A. Numero, they ended up developing something called Thermo King Corporation, which I think might still exist. I'll have to check.
Hmm.
I'll do a little Google/Wikipedia, Thermo King. And so all that portable refrigeration equipment was developed through this company. Now, there's a little bit of debate about who actually invented the air conditioner. The real air conditioner that we know it, that like cools air in a room, was invented by Carrier. I think it's like
Willis Carrier.
He invented it in 1906 for this printing company because it like gets all hot from machines and stuff. So he cooled the air in there. And that's the first real air conditioner. But a lot of people are like, no, a black man. He invented the air conditioner. And really, it's like, they both were inventing the same thing at the same time.
Yeah,
one was for cooling air in a room. One was for cooling air in a truck.
Yeah.
So like, whatever.
Same ideas.
Yeah. I'm proud of Frederick McKinley Jones for inventing that portable moving air conditioner. I think that's very impressive. Carrier, you can keep your credit for.
Carry on.
Carry on, sir. As you were.
By the way, Thermo King does exist to this day. And there is a facility called TK Services Inc., which is Thermo King Services Inc., in Vernon, California. Well, so when was the actual like refrigerator invented? Like, when did Frederick McKinley Jones, like, when was the patent issued, or when did the sort of like device become official? Like,
it was,
what decade are we talking here?
Artificial refrigeration began in the mid 1750s.
Whoa, okay.
And developed in the early 1800s. And in 1834, the first working vapor compression refrigeration system was built. Who gets credit for that invention? It is a person named...
Probably a man.
Scottish professor William Cullen designed a small refrigerating machine in 1755.
William Cullen, perhaps a an ancestor of our friend Danny Cullen.
Perhaps. That you friend remember, of the podcast.
Yes, remember from our Sharing the Shame episode where he taught us about Irish issues.
Yes. He, yeah, small refrigerating machine in 1755. So perhaps it was William Cullen's discoveries that Frederick McKinley Jones was tapping into when he was building that portable thing.
It looks like 35. Jones designs this portable air cooling unit, and he receives a patent for it on July 12th, 1940.
Dang. So, yeah, he was busy. He was good. And he stopped going to school after sixth grade.
Wow.
Isn't that something?
Just because he was already, like, in business?
Yeah, I mean, I think he just didn't finish school and was just really into, like, he was a mechanic for money. Mm-hmm. He didn't have parents.
Oh, yeah. Who raised him? Like, how did he?
A priest raised him.
Oh, wow.
In Kentucky. Yeah. So, I mean, that's pretty much it for today. But
well, I'm really glad he did that.
Yeah,
it sounds
me too.
Like he was not the only one who made some efforts in the the AC game.
It was truly a collaboration. But he deserves. I think that he doesn't get much play. Like I feel like he's an underdog, and people don't like think of him. And for that reason, I decided to get myself learned up on him.
The world needs to know about Frederick McKinley Jones.
Yeah, say his name, Frederick McKinley Jones,
winner of the National Medal of Technology and inductee of the National Inventors Hall of Fame. Yeah,
you heard it here.
So cool. I love refrigerators, Lauren.
So do I.
You.
I love refrigerators. I also love portable ACs. Like I love being
able. I got one of those in my home.
Yes, I love being able to blast my car with cold air on those super hot days.
It's so important.
It's so important, and I don't even care if it's like too cold.
Thank you, Ralph and Frederick.
Thanks, guys. Much appreciated.
Black booze.
Hi, Sarah.
Hey, Lorraine.
Okay, so I'm just gonna launch into it. My, I almost said my jubu.
Don't take that word. I'll
stay in my boundary. My black boo is Jennifer Hudson.
Yeah.
Yeah. I recently.
She is black, isn't
she? She's totally black. A little known fact. I was hanging out with some girls and we watched the Sex and the City 1 movie.
Oh, sure.
And we were like doing a drinking game thing, and one of the little drink when things was. Drink whenever you remember, you like have the, you're reminded that Jennifer Hudson is way too good for this movie. Just drink every time you're like, hello, she is an Oscar winning actress. By the time this movie was released, she had won an Oscar. Why is she this like supporting girl who's like, I rent handbags? Like that, it's a ridiculous character for her to be playing.
I completely forget her in that.
Exactly.
I'm so sorry.
So Jennifer Hudson, she plays Carrie Bradshaw's personal assistant.
Oh, of course.
And the whole thing is like Carrie Bradshaw's having a hard time with love. And this girl, she believes in love.
Yes, that's
all,
right.
Her big dream is to fall in love. And she like gets her dream. Spoiler alert. Anyway, she's fantastic.
Great singer.
Love her voice. Mm-hmm. She's just, oh my God. And I think she's too good for Weight Watchers.
Is she still on Weight Watchers?
I don't know, but I just
you
know her.
Really leave it? Is it like once you're an addict, you're always an addict kind of thing?
Kind of. Like, I just feel like, bad example, but it's sort of like Jared and Subway. It's like once they get you, you're theirs. Mm-hmm. And for whatever reason, people love Weight Watchers. They love it.
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever experienced it? Do you know it?
I mean, my mom used to be in Weight Watchers, like dabbled.
It's like a cult.
Yeah.
It's very like, I don't know. People get into it and that's what they live by. And I don't like it.
Okay.
I don't like it. I think it's, I think anything where you're like, oh, I need this. I can't do my thing unless I have this thing is bad news. You got to figure out how to do you.
I know, but some people really need a support system. It's like saying an addict has to recover without AA, right? It's like,
ooh,
I mean,
that's a good observation.
Don't you think?
Yeah.
Like for some people, it's just life is too overwhelming. And it really helps to have that structure and the routine.
Yeah. So I see that. I hear that.
So I think it should be a personal choice, like most things.
It's just, okay, here's what I don't so much love about Weight Watchers people is like the people that I know who are on Weight Watchers who live by it and swear by it think that anyone who's not on Weight Watchers is going to fail.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're just like really skeptical of anything that's not Weight Watchers. And I just want people to know whatever works for you works for you. It's like Weight Watchers doesn't have to be the only answer.
Right.
What works for you?
Just stop eating.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
Okay. So who's your Jubu?
Jubus and Black Boos. My Jubu is Carrie Brownstein. Carrie Brownstein from Portlandia. Have you seen it? From Sleater-Kinney. Have you heard of him? I saw her this past weekend, and I very uncoolly immediately texted Lorraine. I was at Skylight Books in Los Feliz. And great bookstore, by the way.
Oh, so good.
And such good events. They're
amazing.
They're just really good events.
Their calendar is just like stacked.
Dude,
incredible.
We should do a show there.
Yeah.
Okay. When Done. We write books.
Yeah.
Based on this podcast.
Like, we could release a coffee table book or a book.
I love that idea.
Let's do this.
Okay, cool. So we're going to get famous, and mm-hmm. you guys can check us out at Skylight Books. So I was there, and I looked to my left. Here's how this went down. I looked down at the floor and caught sight of a woman's shoes. And, you know, women check out each other's shoes. Mm-hmm. And so then I worked my way up this person's body to check out the rest of the outfit. And it was Carrie Brownstein.
Crazy.
I was like, those are some interesting sort of leather mules. Mm-hmm. Oh, she's got some cut off jeans. Interesting pairing. A little simple white t-shirt. She looks very put together. Hello, Carrie Brownstein. And she was with another Jubu. Abby Jacobson. Ah! I totally like fangirled out, but had to keep it together. I was, so they were at the register, like getting some books, and I was standing off to the side waiting for a sales lady to gift wrap the What Happened by Hillary Rodham Clinton,
ooh,
which I was giving as a birthday gift to someone. And as I was waiting for that, these ladies were checking out, and I really kind of wanted to like lean over and like be really weird and see what they were getting, but I did not do that. And instead I just texted Lorraine. I was like, oh my God, I'm sorry.
So I one time saw Carrie Brownstein having a hangout girls lunch check-in with Miranda July.
Wow.
At Kitchenette in Echo Park.
Oh my God.
And I could not handle it. I couldn't handle it.
Yeah, that's too much.
Yeah, I was like walking with my friend. Actually, you know Jackson. I was walking with Jackson. And I just went, whoa. And he's like, hold it together, girl. And I just like looked the other way and I was like, Jackson, I can't. And he's like, I know, I can't either. And we just stood there on the sidewalk. Like we were like inches away from them, just looking off into the sky. Like, I can't. Can you?
They're
no,
so
I can't. I can't. Amazing.
Amazing. That was Jubus and Black Booze. We did it.
Jubus and Black Booze.
It's time for a little segment called Kosher Beef, where I, a Jewish person, just vent my beef with whatever or whomever I'm beefing with. So this week's Kosher Beef is about contraindications. That's when two medications can't be taken together or something will happen. I hate when pharmacists are like super alarmist without providing like any details or statistics. I'm like, hey, I have insomnia and horrible jaw pain because I clench my jaw at night. Can I please take this sleep medication with this muscle relaxant? And they're like, that's not a good idea. And I'm like, why? And they're like, well, they're both sedatives, so you may get sleepy. And I'm like, duh, bitch, I'm not going for a drive. I'm trying to fall asleep. And they're like, I still wouldn't recommend it. Maybe take them 4 hours apart. Okay,
no.
It kind of sounds like you're making shit up. Maybe it's the word maybe. I literally had a pharmacist say, I don't know, maybe take them 4 hours apart. What is that?
I don't know, maybe. Or take them 5 hours apart.
Yeah.
Or maybe, I don't know, take them 6 hours apart.
Or maybe just take them together. If they had said 80% of people who take this sleeping pill with this muscle relaxant experience seizures and shit themselves, 20% of people have no problem, it's your call, then I could be like, okay, thank you, I'm gonna make an informed decision, or okay, I'm gonna play the odds here.
Yeah.
But this is beside the point, Lorraine. The main point is that here it is, we're in 2017, and look, we should be able to take two completely unrelated medicines at the same time. They should be able to, medicines in your body should be like Trump's vision for the world. Like, this is my country, this is another country.
Yeah.
We are not talking to each other.
Sure.
One can exist without the other. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a bad analogy, but maybe it's more like seeing someone you don't really like at a party, but you're just able to enjoy the party. They're enjoying the party. You don't need to confront each other about it.
Yeah.
You know, you're adults. We're all adults. I don't know.
Or also kind of like the regular flow of traffic and the carpool lane.
Right.
Like separate. Not related.
Not related. Same highway.
Same highway.
That's a great analogy.
Same, you know, destination, origin, whatever. We're going in the same direction. We have the same goal in mind to make this whole place better. Right?
Yeah.
But you're in your lane now, we're over here.
Yeah.
Well, you know what I hate? I hate when, here's my kosher beef. I don't like it when pharmacists, there's like a medication that should go with another medication and they just keep that shit to themselves. For example, oh, you're going to be on this antibiotic? Cool. Here you go. I'm not going to recommend a probiotic to you.
That's so ignorant.
Yeah, I'm going to just let you go off, take your antibiotic, and maybe have you get a yeast infection.
Right.
And have you come back to get some Vagisil or some crap.
Yep.
No. Let's just get something
straight. I want all the
facts.
Yeah.
I want this antibiotic, mm-hmm. and I don't want a yeast infection. I shouldn't have to order.
You shouldn't have to choose.
Not a yeast infection.
Yeah. Do I want strep throat?
No.
And a yeast infection?
No.
Or do I want, you know, no strep throat.
And no yeast infection
right.
also. Like,
right.
What do you think I want?
Yeah.
So mention that. Anyone
right.
out there who's recommending an antibiotic, also mention, hey, you should probably also make sure you eat some extra yogurt this week or, you know, take some extra like probiotic gummies or
yeah.
whatever.
Yeah. That's a great, great plug for probiotics. Very
yeah.
important. I really recommend them.
They're
Femdophilus
great.
Is my favorite probiotic for
nice.
Women. It's great. It's good for like UTIs, yeast infections,
nice.
Any sort of funky shit up in there that you do not want. Femdophilus, you can take one pill and then you can either use the other one as a suppository or sprinkle a little in your underwear.
Well, that's very cool. I didn't know that existed. Would love to be sponsored by Femdophilus. Would love it.
Yeah, Ryan's writing that down. anyway, guys, look, in prepping for this episode, I read a lot about great innovations in the field of science and medicine. Polio vaccine, chemotherapy, penicillin, the atom bomb. Guys, let's figure this shit out.
Yes.
I don't want to have to choose between going to sleep and not having jaw pain. Like, let's just, can we just stop researching the cure for ALS or ways to live longer and just let me take my shit with my other shit, okay?
Yes.
Thank you for listening. That was Kosher Beef with Sarah Isaacson. So long.
Farewell.
Avita saying goodbye. Bye, Lorraine.
Yeah, bye. This has been a really fun episode. This is one of those ones where I'm like, I'm not done my homework.
Inventors part two.
There's so much more to explore. Like the black guy who invented the traffic light. You know about that guy?
No.
Neither do I. But I know that a black guy invented the traffic light.
That is so cool. And a lot of the inventions that I just alluded to in my kosher beef segment were Jews were responsible for those things.
Oh, that's so true.
A lot of famous Jews inventing shit.
Let's have a summit. We'll get all of the inventor,
all
black
the ghosts
people
together.
And Jewish people. We'll get all together and we'll be like, how do we make it even better?
Yeah. And I think we could also do a segment where we just pitch funny inventions to each other.
Oh, yeah, totally. Like, I have this one invention for an app that like, okay. How have you had the experience where like a tourist is like, oh, can you take a picture of us? And
yeah,
you really
sure.
don't really want to.
Yep.
All right. So I want to do a thing where you take a picture of tourists and it automatically goes to like a cloud or it goes somewhere else and it's deleted from their phone immediately. And then you go, how much money are you willing to pay for it? Because you
Damn.
Just took my time away from me and I did not want to take this photo of you. And it's a good picture. Here it is on my phone. I'll show it to you.
Wow.
You don't have access to this until you pay me.
Wow.
I want to invent that.
That's savage, dude.
Yeah.
I want to invent, I have a couple app ideas. One is a way to tell what you're, actually, I don't know if this already exists. Someone please tell me. a way to tell like what you and like a person you're crushing on's like kids would look like.
Yeah,
you know, without having to like go through the whole process of like dating and marrying and having kids with that person, you know, because that's just like it's a long,
whoa,
that's a long game, you know?
You know what would be so cool is if you could have like the in the same way that you'd be like, this is what our kids would look like, this is what our life would look like.
Oh, sure.
And you have like photos of your wedding day with them.
That'd
this
be really
is
helpful.
Totally creepy. But then photos of like your Thanksgivings together, and you could just like look at photos of you with
right.
this person, and
or, like,
then be
who's
like,
"Who's going to be the more domestic one? What are some? What are going to be some of our marital issues?
Yeah.
Like, I want to know up top. Like, is this going to be a relationship where like I need to text him a lot of updates?
Right.
Or,
right.
Or am I going to have to like have a sort of independent life? Like, I need to know these things.
You know, in Netflix, when you like hold the mouse over a video, I mean, over a movie, and then like a little blurb mm-hmm. pops up, so you know what you're getting yourself
sure,
into.
Sure, sure.
Wish I could do that with people.
Oh, 100%.
All people.
Everyone
just like
should come
hover
with their own
over.
Blurb. Like, these are my things.
Yeah.
Are they
here's what you're getting
your
into.
Things?
Here's
yeah.
the genre. Here's right. how long this is going to take.
Right, right. Just so you know, this movie is over 90 minutes. Maybe not for you,
yeah,
Sarah.
Yeah, not for this day.
Nope.
So okay, this was great. We're perfect. We're inventors. Don't forget, you guys, follow us on all of the social medias.
Please.
We're at Learned Up Podcast on everything. And you know, go onto that Apple. Go into Apple. What is the word? Apple Podcast.
iTunes?
That app.
Oh, sure.
iTunes. Anywhere you get your podcasts, rate, review, subscribe to Learned Up.
Please write us a review. We'd love you so much. And feel free to write to us, guys, and pitch ideas for episodes or comment on stuff that you like or didn't like. You can send us an email at learntuppodcast@gmail.com. And as always, thanks so much to What's a Creative, our podcast network, and to our producer, Ryan. Thanks, Boo Boo.
Thank you.
And thanks to all our listeners. And let's just keep living.
And thank you big time to Adam Isaacson, who created all of our music.
Yep. Okay, thanks, guys. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Do you like comedy? How about science fiction and intrigue? If so, you might be disappointed with Scary Town, a serialized comedy podcast from the creators of Janice Magazine. It's about a spooky town that's as mysterious as it is stupid, with bizarre characters and a frustrating plot. Give it a listen, won't you? It will cost you nothing but your time. Scary Town. Brought to you by What's a Creative, available wherever fine podcasts are sold.